Hello and welcome to another Wannabe Entrepreneur, the podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. My name is Tiago and today I have a packed episode for you. We are going to talk about pricing changes. We are going to talk about new amazing tools that will change the way you do business. We are going to talk about, I guess, philosophy. I don't know. All the important topics are discussed here in the Wannabe Entrepreneur podcast, the podcast about indie making. And let's get started. So first of all, as you know, I have been researching all my life. Well, maybe not all my life, but definitely for, I guess, 10 years, I've been researching indie hacking, entrepreneurship, trying out my own project. And more recently, since I found some success with PodSqueeze, I have been going and diving into books and interviews here with a podcast. And I've discovered, as I told you, that I am more an audio person, which I guess is no surprise. And because of that, I figured out that audiobooks work much better for me than normal books where you actually have to read. Audiobooks are perfect because I can just do the dishes while listening to a book or do whatever, you know, walk, physical activity, I can do whatever while I'm reading, quote-unquote reading, or someone is reading the book to me. And because of that, I've been kind of exploring a lot of new books. And I've explored the SaaS playbook, the one that I recommended to you. I recently listened to the week, 4-hour week, which is really good. And now I'm listening to this, what is it called? The Intelligent Investor, which is a more technical book, but also very interesting. Anyways, what do I want to say with this? I want to say that because of that, I've been kind of studying indie making and studying entrepreneurship. And I have to tell you, this is a complex profession. It's not easy. I mean, I thought I knew everything just based on Twitter and seeing, you know, yeah, you need to do marketing. You need to invest not only in features, but also bringing clients. But there's so many nuances, so many little details about becoming an entrepreneur. And that's why I also call this the wannabe entrepreneur, because I feel that I am always the wannabe. There's always so much to learn. I still have to learn a lot about this craft, the craft of entrepreneurship. But this episode, I will tell you about two or three things that, again, surprised me. Things that I thought, I don't know, I thought nothing could surprise me. Well, I guess mistakenly, I thought nothing could surprise me. But things can still surprise me. There's amazing tools that one can use that can actually change the way you do business. And the tool I've discovered recently is Apollo. And this is not sponsored by Apollo whatsoever. I don't know any sponsorships. I mean, I did in the past, but anyways. Apollo is amazing. I don't know if you know what this tool is. Probably already heard the name. But this is a tool that allows you to find emails from founders of companies and CEOs and whatever position you want, really. And it just emails them, cold emails these people, and takes care of all the reaching out and sending a follow-up email, everything. It's so easy. It's crazy. So this all started because my partner, I recently said my wife on Twitter, but we're not really married. It's like we're unofficially married. But anyways, we're together for a long time, and she has been supporting my career for a long time, my indie career. And I never thought she would ever actually become an entrepreneur, really. Like, if you met her, she likes working. She did a PhD. She's more in the scientific area. But she doesn't like kind of what for me, it's an excitement, you know, to build a company. She doesn't like that part. She likes to just research and work for others and have that stability so that she can thrive by doing what she loves, which is research, you know, science. But since we moved to Portugal, science is not really a thing here. I mean, I guess here you can have a tech job and you can have a decent pay. But besides that, it's extremely hard. The salaries for scientific jobs, and she was working on pharmaceutical, are quite low. And the culture is always, it's not the best. Like the culture, the work culture in Portugal is not the best. If you compare with Germany, Austria, all Europe really, most of other countries in Europe and US and so on, I don't know here. Well, actually, I don't know about the US, but I know that in Europe, people respect you when you work for others. You get the good paycheck, and it's not like here. It feels that when you work for someone in Portugal, that they are giving you a favor. They by giving you that job, they are making you a favor, and it really bums me out because I think that we can do better. But anyways, because of that, she left her job. Which was very brave, and she has been trying to find a remote job. But again, it's very hard. Science, remote job, they don't go well together. It's very, very hard. And now she decided to start a freelancing career, which is amazing, right? So she's basically starting her own company. We build a website using CARD, which is really cool. A really cool website, CARRD, yeah. And it allows you to make websites super easily. And it's super cheap. It's like $19 per year. So it's super cheap. We built a whole website. We shared it with the world, LinkedIn and Twitter. And she's trying to get her first gig. It did not happen yet, but we also just started last week. But it's very exciting. You know, now suddenly here in the family, there's two indie makers. In one hand, it can bring more, you know, less stability. But in the other hand, it's so exciting, right? So now for the first time, I loved how she went to bed after kind of preparing everything. And she had that kind of positivity and optimism that we have when we are just first starting a business. And she was like, oh, yeah, I will go to bed now. And tomorrow, probably already have 3 clients. Like, yeah, sure, for sure. Well, she didn't, obviously. But we tried to come up with a way to sell, right? Distribute their website, distribute their services so that she can find potential clients. And obviously, we did a launch. We did a LinkedIn launch, a Twitter launch, but that only works once, right? You get a lot of attention, but then it kind of dissipates. And we need something more long-term. And we thought, okay, let's try reaching out to companies. So at first, she was reaching out to companies on LinkedIn, reaching out to some connections she had. And I thought, wait. I know that there's this thing called Apollo that allows you to manage all of this and find the emails from people that like founders and people that can actually make the decision to hire you. So I just opened Apollo.io, and I was amazed. It's a very complex tool in the sense that there's a lot of things you can do, but it's actually quite easy. So I just open like some YouTube video and just search for how to find leads with Apollo, and you'll find a lot of documentation, a lot of tutorials, very simple. What is cool is that you can actually search for things. So we just went there and searched for pharmaceutical companies, startups, climate tech, you know, biotech, anything related to biology and genetics and so on. And suddenly a list of thousands of companies just showed up in front of us. Then we can select. We can select if you want the size of the companies, how many employees should this company have. We can select what kind of positions we want. Do we want the CEO? Do we want maybe the head of marketing? Whatever. And there's a lot of filters. And then you just filter everything. And then you select these people. Then you connect the Apollo to your email provider, right? So we connect with Soho, which is the tool we use for emailing. And that's it. You just click on send, and it starts sending these emails. You can define at what time it should send, how often it should send, and as well the follow-ups. Which is cool. It's really cool. Follow-ups really work. So basically, we just send one email, trying to connect, trying to get a call. And if they don't answer, after 3 days, automatically Apollo will send a follow-up email. And the cool thing is that it's super personalized. I know, it really feels that I'm selling Apollo, but again, this is not sponsored. It's just amazing how I didn't know about this tool. It's crazy because you can really personalize. So you can put the name of the person, you can put the name of the company, and that way you can automate your cold emailing. It's mind-blowing. It's really cool. So we started doing this for her, and then I thought, wait, I need to do this for PodSqueeze as well because I'm now reaching out to partnerships. I want to partner with other companies in the podcasting space. So I just basically did the same. I just searched for podcasting companies, and I created an email, and it's just sending. And out of the blue, I have now meetings with people for potential partnerships. Actually, we just closed 2 potential partnerships already just because of Apollo. And this is amazing. So just for you to understand, before this, we were actually hiring someone like a VA to do this, to find these companies and sending emails and responding, but now everything can be automated with this crazy tool. And again, I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew all the tools, but I don't. And there's amazing tools. I know that Apollo also integrates with LinkedIn, and it just changed the game for me. It really changed. It's not cheap, I have to say. There's like a free version that basically doesn't allow you to do anything. And then there's, I think it's $40 per month. But again, if it's finding you leads, if it's finding you things that are really important, well, it makes sense. Even if you just have this for maybe 2-3 months and then cancel it after you send all the emails you want to send. It's really good. And for her as well, it's working. She already had one or two potential clients. And we're just continuing to send more emails and see how it works. But again, Apollo.io, what a cool, crazy tool for you to use. And especially if you're doing B2B or partnerships or whatever, go there. And funny enough, I searched for PodSqueeze. Obviously, I went to Apollo, searched for our company, and there it was. My email and my co-founder's email just there. And these emails are not even public. We don't have them in the website. I don't know how they find it out, but it's crazy. It's really, really cool. Now, next crazy event that happened. Yeah, I even forgot to mention about this on the introduction, but this was crazy. So I was minding my own business, chilling, and sometimes we get some, you know, support. I think everyone has. And my co-founder is always annoying and saying, not annoying, maybe it's not the best word. He's always preoccupied with the fact that I don't answer these emails or these messages. I do answer, but sometimes I take some time because I kind of skim through them and I see, okay, this is not that important. It's not that the website is down and I need to leave everything and go fix it. So I just take my sweet time. But that changed on Thursday, I think not this past Thursday, but the other one, where I got that email that no founder wants to get. The email titled, "Is PodSqueeze Down?" Of course, I immediately stopped everything, ran to my laptop. I was like, what's going on? And she was saying, "Is PodSqueeze down? I cannot access it." I opened PodSqueeze and bam, it was, "This website cannot be found." It's like, what the fuck? How is this happening? Like, how is this happening? I have no idea. So I got no notification. My website was back then hosted on Netlify, which I until then, I really liked it. They are actually cheap. They are good. They work really well. They are fast. And I thought, okay, let's see what's happening. And it's just Netlify just blocked my website or brought my all my websites that I had hosted with them were down and my account was blocked. So I was freaking out. I was trying to like access my account. They're saying your account was blocked. There was no reason, no notification whatsoever. I immediately opened a ticket to kind of try to fix the situation. In the meantime, people were asking, like, is your website down? What's going on? Man, I was really stressing out with this. It was the first time in a year that it was down. So I guess there's not a lot of downtime, which is good. But, well, it's always a shitty experience. You don't want to deliver that kind of experience. So, yeah, they didn't answer. They didn't answer at all. I was just skimming through Google and trying to see like what's going on. And a lot of people were saying, yeah, Netlify, they just do this. Sometimes they block you. There were some crazy stories with people that had like $100,000 bill out of Netlify because whatever bandwidth. I was like, what the fuck is happening? I don't get it. So after like half an hour of no answer from Netlify, I decided to switch. I immediately switched to Vercel. Even though our website doesn't use Next.js, again, super easy to deploy. I just clicked in 2-3 buttons. But again, with Netlify, it's also super easy. So our website runs with Gatsby. So it's a mixture of, you know, dynamic and static. And bam, I just deployed it again, changed the domains. But after, I guess, I don't even know, hours, I finally got a response from Netlify saying, because Amazon told they use AWS whatever filtering services, and AWS said that we were a spamming website, and because of that, our website was brought down. Now, I think this happened because we are sending the other cold emails, so it's kind of related, but it's not with Apollo. We are sending, you know, I have my own server. We're sending these cold emails, but we are not even sending with podsqueeze.com. But apparently, Amazon, based on this, said that PodSqueeze.com, we were spammers, and they kind of told this to Netlify, and Netlify didn't even like notify us or whatever. They just blocked our website. Everything was down. Our business was down. So I was really upset, of course, and stressed. Then I just told them, okay, obviously, they even said like, yeah, your website was down, or you didn't get notified because you are not in the paid tier, but actually I was paying, so I don't really understand that. But yeah, even if you are now, we are not going to unlock your account. I was like, guys, I don't care. I will never work with you again. Like, this was the worst experience I could ever have. Now I just want you to delete my account and send me my invoices because I was paying. They don't answer. They don't even answer. They don't dignify me with an answer. They don't tell me if my account was deleted. I still get emails, like marketing emails from Netlify talking about like your trial is about to end, whatever. How is this even possible, man? Wow, I'm just getting worked up just by thinking about it, man. What a shitty experience. Well, never use Netlify ever again. And now I'm using Vercel. I hope I don't have any problems, but so far so good. So far so good. Yeah, that was a very scary moment. In the end, it was only 30 minutes downtime, roundabout 30 minutes downtime. We did have some repercussions because then we had some other issues that were happening for the next days. But anyways, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. But yeah, we got that fixed. So yeah, that was another exciting event that happened. Now, third exciting event of the week. Actually, it was 2 weeks because I didn't publish last week. This is really exciting and scary at the same time. We decided to increase PodSqueeze prices. Yeah, this is the thing that everyone tells you to do, but you never want to do it. And after reading the book, the SaaS Bootstrap, there's a chapter only on pricing. And one thing that he says there, Rob Walling, he says that if no one is complaining about your pricing, it's because it's probably too low. And actually, no one was complaining. And I don't know, Joe and I were kind of thinking about this, and we said like, yeah, maybe it's time, because before we introduced the latest big feature, which was the clips, we thought after introducing that, we would increase the prices. Then we didn't. And we're just thinking about it and going back and forward. And in the end, we decided to do it for two main reasons. First, because, again, we introduced this new feature and we also have more expenses now. It makes sense. And what Rob Walling says in this book is that ever 6 months to a year, you should revisit your prices. And it's been, I think, a year since we last, well, not a year, but definitely more than 6 months since we last increased our prices. So we thought, okay, let's see if it makes sense. And the other reason is because we are kind of changing a bit the strategy of PodSqueeze. Also, again, because of what we read in this book, and that's why I think reading these kind of books, or for me, listening to these kind of books, it's so good. This research, it's incredible. Some books are bullshit, I have to be honest. Some books are just people that want to make some money and they don't really know what they're talking about. But this one, again, I think some people already bought it because I recommend it. You should. Like the SaaS playbook is really, really good. And they do speak about how you should, again, find your customers and ignore the, and actually the other book, The 4 Hours Worky, they also mentioned this, that you should kind of fire your bad clients. So the clients, they are just annoying, that they are just demanding, that they are not really good for you. You should fire them. And what this made us see is that PodSqueeze has two or three types of clients. Three types of people use PodSqueeze. And you have, I don't want to bore you too much, but you have basically the hobbyists, people that use PodSqueeze, just, or they have a podcast, but they don't make money. Then there's the people, the professionals that make money with their podcast. And then there's these agencies that manage podcasts for others. These are the three types of clients, and each one of them will pay differently. So our goal was, we knew that our hobbyist tier had a lot of professional people there. So we want to make sure we distinguish each tier and bring all the pro professionals to the pro tiers and then increase the prices there. So just the fact, and this is really cool, just the fact that you increase the prices makes you look at your product differently. Now, we increased the prices in the beginning of this past week, and so far, we still don't have any conclusions. Definitely, I think that the conversion has gone down, so which makes sense. Less people are converting for the pro tiers, but it makes us look at our product and focus more on the pro tier and think and ask ourselves, how can we improve the pro tier so that it's worth the money we're asking for? And it's kind of going back to the beginnings of PodSqueeze and trying to see where is the value and how can we serve these people better. And the goal with this is that eventually churn will come down because we have still the starter tier for hobbyists. It's still cheap. We didn't increase the price of that tier, but we increased only the pro and the agency. And now we are kind of enriching these tiers with features that these people really need. So whatever you are looking for on PodSqueeze, you will have it. So doesn't make sense for you to quit or to give up. So that's basically the goal. So far, in terms of churn, this month seems to have been a bit better than the previous month. So this is really cool. By reducing churn, we can increase our growth. And it's still too new. So I cannot really give you any updates on that. But the really interesting thing here is that we are not stressing out. Yeah, for the first time, we release the prices. We see that it's affecting our conversion, but we are not stressing out because now we have a much more mature company. Now we know that the moment we reduce the prices, we'll most likely have the clients back again. So if we fail to enrich these pro tiers, we can just reduce the prices once more and we'll get back to that moment because we have already ways, organic ways to bring people to the website. So we are not missing opportunities. The people that are not coming today, they'll come tomorrow. No worries. So yeah, I feel that what I've learned in this past year is that what it's like to build a healthy business, a business that makes sense. And I think now that selling our business now, if you would sell PodSqueeze now, it would be much, much easier and much more profitable than selling our business in like 2 or 3 months ago. Because we fixed the organic growth, which is really, really important. And if you get, you know, the churn fixed and everything, I think that our Sally will be more profitable. Well, and that's it. I don't have much more to say to you. I hope you found this episode entertaining and exciting and relevant for your own business. If you did, make sure to share it with all your indie maker friends. I have a few interviews lined up. I did an interview with Dagobert, who is back to the world of indie hacking after 6 months of kind of being out and working on a normal 9-to-5. So let's, in that interview, we'll discover a little bit why he decided to return and what he's going to do. If you don't know Dagobert, there's a lot of interviews we did with him. And we have been also kind of following his journey here in the podcast. So make sure to go and listen to that. And I'm going to interview this coming week. I'm really excited for this. Rob Walling, yeah, the author of the book I'm always recommending, the SaaS Playbook. So yeah, that will be 2 really cool interviews that I'll be releasing as fast as I can. And I wish you a lovely entrepreneurial week with a lot of success and indie making progress. Yeah, that's it. This was another Wannabe Entrepreneur. See you next week.